your holidays. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. And for you guys who have never joined us during this time, what we like to do is when we come in, I like to spend at least the first 15 minutes kind of on your own, reading the Bible, in your own quiet time, whatever you're doing, and then we'll have some worship and devotional, and then we'll pray for some things. If you haven't turned in your prayer requests yet, please do so. You could either email them to me or the little cards in the back. You can fill that out and just drop it off to me at any time. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem that were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. And he was preaching and saying, 'After me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' It came about in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.' And immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts and the angels were ministering to him. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And they immediately left the nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, 'What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately the news about himself went out everywhere to all the surrounding district of Galilee. And immediately after he had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her. And he came to her and raised her up, and taking her by the hand, the fever left her, and she waited on them. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came out for.' And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. And a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about, to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming out to him from everywhere." Amen. We're going to do Mark during this time. And Mark's actually a great book. Mark, you guys know, is John Mark of the Gospel. It's not Mark, the son of Zebedee. Actually, that'll be James. It's not the other Mark that's written here. Mark, interesting enough, is, you know, even without reading this, is a great testimony itself. Because if you remember in Acts, Mark was the one that was rejected by Paul, right? So Mark was in the first missionary journey to Perga and all these places. The second missionary journey, there's something occurred between Paul and Mark, and basically Mark was kind of young and he was kind of homesick. He wanted to go home, and Paul didn't want to have anything to do with that. And so an actual rift happened between these guys, and Paul just basically got rid of Mark, Barnabas, because they were cousins, took John Mark with him on his journey, and then Paul went with Silas, and the rest of Acts kind of evolves that way. And so we have here a guy that was really rejected, you know, by one of the primary leaders of the church, and a guy that was kind of immature, you know, someone that was, you know, not quite ready at that time, who eventually comes around to write one of the most profound writings in all of the Bible. You know, and so, you know, like when I read Mark, I draw a lot of comfort in knowing that God doesn't give up on us. You know, even though other leaders may have given up on us, and even though, you know, during different times, you know, it may seem like, you know, we were weak or, you know, or this excuse or that, God never gives up. You know, and if we eventually keep plugging in with the Lord, we're going to do something fantastic. You know, and Mark here, which is interesting about his writing, he really introduces this concept that we adhere to so much. We don't even know because it was so common to us, but it's really what they call the theology of the Son of God. You know, it starts off right in the beginning in verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Mark portrays this picture of who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, kind of culminating at the end of this thing that we'll get into, you know, a few weeks later on, when the centurion looks, you know, remember what he says when, you know, the thunder and all these things happen, he says, truly, this was the Son of God. You know, and now you have the confession of Mark, and now you have the confession of the centurion. And so all throughout, you'll see this theme of Jesus being the Son of God, you know, God's prize for each one of us. And so we start off this whole thing, and, you know, obviously in relation to this whole idea of son, you know, verse 11, I would probably say maybe the most significant thing that happened to Jesus in his life, in my own humble personal opinion. You know, I really believe this is probably, you know, I mean, obviously there was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is very important. You know, there was the you know, the temptation and overcoming the enemy and, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, all very significant events. But in my personal opinion, I feel like this one event marked him for the rest of his ministry. And you guys know very well, you know, the voice comes out of the heavens as being baptized. The Spirit of God comes upon him and he says, you are my beloved Son. In thee I'm well pleased. You know, at this moment, the Father takes possession of the Son and says, Jesus, you are my Son, and I am so proud of you. You know, and you've heard me expound on this text so many times, especially, you know, the passage in Matthew is probably elaborate a little bit more. You know, but when Jesus hears these words, there's actually, in our scheme of things, there's really no reason for the Father to be proud of him about. You know, I mean, he hasn't preached at all yet. He hasn't cast out any demons. He hasn't you know, healed any people. You know, he hasn't, you know, multiplied food. He really, at this point, he has done absolutely nothing. You know, and in the beginning of it all, the Father comes and he says, you're my Son and I'm proud of you. You know, this is so important for us. And I'd have to say that this text is probably one of the most powerful ones that really set my life free. You know, and you, I recognize, you know, I don't have to perform for the Lord. He loves me because I'm his Son. You know, I don't have to, you know, go out and do all these things, even though I want to now, right? But I'm his Son. You know, the Hebrews, the Israelites, that they had this term that they used to use, and the word was hodos. And what hodos meant was, it meant that we, you know, I love or I do because you love me. You know, whereas the times that they were living in, it was a more out of merit. In other words, I do so you can love me, you know, or I am so you can love, or whatever the case may be. But the Israelites recognized hodos, and they said, no, we do and we act and we serve and we give and all these things because you love me. You know, and that little is a huge difference in our life. You know, because we could very easily be chasing after God, you know, trying to gain His approval when all along His approval was already there. You know, and I'd even say that in your Christian life, at some point, you need to hear the echo of heaven over your life. And the Father says, "You are my son. You are my daughter. Man, I am so pleased with you. I am so proud of you." You know, not because, you know, you're a great singer, not because you're great at what you do at work, you know, not because of any of these things, because you're my child, right? Because I own you and I created you. You have to hear that in your heart of hearts at some point in your Christian walk, or else we will continually be bound by performance. You know, we'll be bound by anxiety. You know, we'll be trying to gain love instead of just receiving it freely, because He freely gives to us. You know, it's so important. This is why, scripturally, you know, the one covenant that the Lord kind of exalts above all other covenants, right, is the covenant of marriage. Because in marriage, right, you actually, if it's done correctly, right, you actually have two couples, you know, or two people that come together and say, "Yeah, I know who you are. I see all the faults, but, you know, I love you anyway." You know, and that's why God exalts covenant, you know, and it's about sacrificing ourselves and loving each other no matter what, you know, until death. And it comes from this covenant that was laid out here in the book of Mark. "You are my beloved son. In you, I am so pleased with you." You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you during this time. You know, let Him really minister into your hearts and really wow you, you know, with His love. And that you recognize that you don't have to perform. You know, it doesn't take 5,000 quiet times to get His love. You know, it doesn't take going on mission trips. It just simply takes you receiving that because you're His child. Period. That's it. You know, and so we'll continue on, even though I could stop right there, but this first chapter is filled with so many good things. And then He comes and He meets the disciples, and He gives them the purpose of their life. You know, how many of us would want God to give us the purpose of our lives? You know, they were fishermen, and He articulates that, you know, in a language they understand. It says, "Oh, you're fishing, but now you come with me, and you'll be fishing for men." You know, giving them a little greater purpose than what they were doing before them. And then He comes, and He was teaching with amazement. And one thing about the Lord's teaching was not only was it with authority, but it was accompanied by proclamation. Right, especially when you look here at verse 39, it says, "And He went out to the synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons." Now, if you're witnessing to someone, or you know, in that boat, you know, let there be a combination of your evangelism, you know, and let not just be talking. There's also be some acts of service, you know, or some deeds that come along with that. You know, Sean, you guys remember Sean Smith, he used to say this line all the time, right? Let there be creeds with deeds, right? You say it, but let's also do it at the same time. This is what was so significant about Jesus' ministry, right? He preached it, He proclaimed it, but He also demonstrated it. You know, He said the kingdom of God is at hand, and then He showed it by demons just leaving left and right all over the place. Right, He demonstrated the kingdom of God was here and was active and working. And so if you are witnessing to people, if you are ministering to people in whatever form or at, you know, talk, we must preach, but at the same time, let's also do. Or let there be a combination of these things. The last part here, and you know, this is indicative of Jesus' ministry, verse 35, and this is comforting for us that did wake up early in the morning and come out. And, you know, in the scheme of things, it's not really that early. You know, 7 o'clock, I tell my parents we have morning prayer at 7. They just laugh at me. You know, this is, you know, I mean, especially as Koreans, you know, they go to prayer at 4 in the morning and stuff. And, you know, 7's nothing. You know, but to us, it is something. So I don't want to just discard that at all. You know, but in 35, it says here, "And early in the morning, while it was still dark, He arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there." Right? This is what Jesus was all about. You know, full life, full ministry, doing all these things. And He always took time to set Himself apart. You know, and a lot of times we read, you know, the Bible and we see what Jesus did and we're like, "Man, this is amazing. I'd love to do stuff like that." You know, and yet we forget the other side of that thing, of Jesus going alone to a lonely place and praying. You know, a lot of times we just see the outward stuff. And I'm glad that, you know, the gospel writers thought that this was significant enough to add these, you know, elements in about his personal life. And he always went to a lonely place to pray. You know, and that's why we gather during these times. So let's close our eyes. By the way, you know, you can at any time you need to go to work, you can leave. Don't worry, it's not distracting or anything. But maybe this morning you need to hear the thunder of heaven over your heart, of God taking ownership over you. So you're my son, you're my daughter. Man, I'm so pleased with you. I'm so proud of you. Even in a humanistic side, you know, all the studies have shown that kids that grow up with parents that are very encouraging and nurturing and you know, always telling them they love them, they're proud of them, just do well in life. Crime rates lower, divorce rates lower, you know, income is higher, right? I mean, every social study that you know, on family life and whatnot. Can you imagine, on a humanly speaking terms, you bring about successful kids? Can you imagine in spiritual terms, when you recognize the Father's love, the pride that He has over us, how successful we'll be in our spiritual lives, in our lives, period? Let the Holy Spirit just breathe that deep inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to pray anything. You don't have to say anything. Just let Him breathe on you. And throughout this day, just meditate on verse 11. When the enemy wants to tell you how bad you are, meditate on verse 11. When you want to be self-critical, meditate on verse 11. When you don't feel like you're worth anything, meditate on verse 11. Thank you, Lord. As we continue to pray, let's pray for our group prayer focus. Let's pray for yourself. Ask the Lord to really place inside of you a real godly character. All right, let's pray for our personal holiness. You know, a lot of our proclamation, demonstration, a lot of that is in not doing things as part of our demonstration, right? Being holy before the Lord. And so let's really place ourselves at the altar and say, God, I'm just asking you to just put inside of me a real godly character, inside of me a real heart to draw closer to an intimacy through holiness. So let's just spend some time, let's pray for ourselves right now. God, Lord, I just pray for my heart, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would just put a godly character inside of me, Lord, that you would fill me, God, that there'd be a real longing for personal holiness, God, and not about do's and don'ts or any of these things, Lord, but just simply me coming to a grip and understanding, God, that you are good, Lord, and that you want to cover up my life, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, do a deep work, Jesus. Come and manifest your presence, manifest yourself, Lord, just so that you just come and you do more in these areas. our church focus today. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's ask God to raise them up and mature them and protect them and guide them. You know, this would be basically a leader is just anyone that's serving at church. You know, so either through the prayer ministry or welcoming or the activities, you know, or the worship team, you know, anyone that's serving the Lord here at SP, these are our leaders, you know, as well as our more formal leaders, Pastor Nate, Pastor Sam, and myself. You know, let's just lift them up and let's ask God to really raise them during this time and mature them and just really release a lot of grace and a lot of leadership and joy in serving the Lord. Well, let's just pray for our church in that way. Last year, we spent every morning praying for the launch of our 11 o'clock service. Our new prayer focus this year is praying for the launch of our house church ministry that we're going to start in a few months. And so let's really pray for God to really bless this new ministry, which is really going to be the foundation of Solomon Sports from now on. You know, let's ask God to really raise up the leaders. You know, they're all doing quite well. You know, we've been training, and we're still continuing on in that training, and ask God to really use them, that God would put confidence in their life, and real significant ministry would happen. Let's pray also for the form and function. We're still trying to figure out exactly, you know, how to put all this thing together. Let's pray for real wisdom as well, you know, that we would connect every single person at Solomon Sports to be part of a house church this year. And so let's just lift up this new ministry and ask God to bless. Even through the training, I pray that you just really significantly, Father God, minister to each one, God. Let them be equipped to serve, God, equipped to love, equipped to pastor. Lord, that you would just do such significant things, God, in the lives of the leaders, Father, that you would just continue to bless them, Lord. Let them really walk in a godly confidence, Lord, and not be concerned or afraid, God, of making mistakes or not knowing enough, or God, I pray that you just wipe all those things away, God, and let them know that as they speak, it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks through them. And so just bless them, Father God. Draw them to you, Lord. We pray, God, through all the ins and outs of this ministry, that you would just have your way with us, God. Let's pray for our brother Charles. Let's pray for his upcoming marriage coming up in March, only a few months away, right? That his marriage, it would be holy and pleasing to God, and that Yungyeong will be happy living in Hong Kong and continue to develop a loving, deeper relationship with one another for the rest of their lives. Pray that he may experience the fullness and richness of living a life which God wants him to live as a full-body Christian, that he would decrease and humble himself more, so God may increase more in his life and not to stay comfortable spiritually. Pray for greater wisdom in developing his ability, his skills to witness to people, development of spiritual gifts to evangelize with more discernment for the glory of God. So let's lift up our brother Charles. Let's pray for Angela Wang. Let's pray for her brother, Tim, that he'd come back to the Lord and come back to the church family in Seattle. Pray that he'd find a solid group of brothers, Christian brothers, that would fellowship with him, that he would really live a growing and dynamic Christian faith this next year instead of wandering the wilderness like he has been the last few years. Also pray for reconciliation in their family between him and his parents, and just their family dynamics this upcoming year, that God would really bless her family this year. Also pray for more ministry opportunities for Angela here in Hong Kong, especially in the area of tent making, and to fully utilize and take hold of opportunities in sharing her faith at her workplace. And God would continue to use her in her career role and bring friends and colleagues to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's lift Angela to the Lord. Lastly, let's pray for our sister Janet. Let's pray for a real breakthrough in her relationships, you know, family, friends, significant other, you know, whatever the case may be. Let's ask God to really allow her to really walk into the next level in the area of relationships in her life. Let's cover her. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for drawing us to this place of this house of prayer, God. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would just continue to strengthen us, Lord, especially as we enter our first day of the fast. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to remain focused, Lord, and not on what we're not doing, God, but help us to be focused on you, Lord, and your heart, God. We pray, Lord, that you would just continually to lift up our brothers and sisters, Lord, and Charles and Angela and Janet and others in our community that are in need, Father. We, Lord, lay aside and we just lay at your feet our house church ministry. Now we ask you to bless and we ask you to really develop the leaders and really develop this ministry, God, for your glory here at SP. We thank you. Watch over us, God. Draw us closer and closer to you, Father, during this time as we consecrate ourselves before you. And we bless you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stick around and continue to pray and leave anytime. There's drinks and